Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for the Christophers, and if you often feel anxious or stressed out, you need to stay tuned for today's show. I'll be talking with best-selling author and Christopher contributor Father Jonathan Morris about his book, The Way of Serenity, Finding Peace and Happiness in the Serenity Prayer. He'll be sharing advice on how you can learn to accept the things you cannot change, build courage to change the things you can, and gain the wisdom to know the difference between the two. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi. Serenity might seem impossible to achieve in a world where we're confronted with terrorism, financial struggles, health struggles, etc. Yet best-selling author and Fox News analyst Father Jonathan Morris proposes that serenity is achievable if we follow the advice of the beloved Serenity Prayer, which says, Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Father Jonathan has now written a book called The Way of Serenity, Finding Peace and Happiness in the Serenity Prayer, and we've got him live in the studio to share his insights. To tell us more, I'm happy to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Father Jonathan Morris. Father Jonathan, thanks for coming by the studio today.
Tony, thank you very much. I've long appreciated the work that you do, not only with the Christophers, but what you've done as a Catholic man and working in the media. Thanks for having me.
We live in an age where there are so many things to sometimes terrify people. There's terrorism, disease, health problems, money problems, unemployment. How did you find serenity to be achievable while you were writing this book?
You know, serenity itself is, I think, can be understood in different ways. You can have serenity, which is not necessarily positive in your life. You have drunks who are serene, so to speak. they're completely detached from reality. And reality can be stressful. Mm-hmm. But the serenity that we pray for in the Serenity Prayer, first of all, maybe I should even say the prayer.
Sure.
Or let's pray the prayer. Mm-hmm. That I grew up looking at it at the bathroom wall in my parents' home. But it's a very simple prayer, but has an influence and touched many people. It goes like this. Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And the whole book is based on that prayer, those three simple phrases, those three simple cries out to God about things that are so essential to us. And so I think serenity really is achievable, but from the perspective of God. What kind of serenity does he want for us? It's not a serenity of the drunk. Mm-hmm. It's not the serenity of the one who just puts everything aside and says, I'm not going to pay attention to this bad world. I'm just going to live in my own little world.
Right.
But it's a serenity that's much deeper than that. In the midst of waves and the midst of difficulties, there's a peace of soul.
Right. Well, I mean, the first line about accepting the things we cannot change, that requires us to admit that we are not in control. And we all like to be in control to a certain degree. How can people get to that level just of accepting the fact that we can't control everything?
You know, Tony, in my work as a priest, a pastor, somebody who works in a parish, both earlier downtown in New York City at Old St. Patrick's Cathedral, which was full of young adults, and also now up at Columbia University, the most common, I would say, concern that people have is exactly what you said. Father, how do I control this situation? They don't usually use the word control because it sounds bad, like a control freak,
yes.
Right? And so they almost like they already know the answer. Well, don't try to control everything. But we want to control things. We want to at least know that we're going to be able to handle things that are coming our way or get under control of things that are going awry right now. And when we pray to the Lord, Lord, allow me to accept the things I cannot change. What I think we're asking of the Lord is, Lord, allow me to let go of the things that I should let go of. That's hard to do. But deep down, we know that there are some things we need to let go of, right? How about our anger or resentment against people who have offended us? Mm-hmm. Should we let that go? I think most people recognize it's not doing me any good holding on to that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking to Father Jonathan Morris about his book, The Way of Serenity, Finding Peace and Happiness in the Serenity Prayer. You also point out in the book that when you talk about accepting the things we cannot change, it's not a matter of resigning ourselves to these things, but more so embracing them. Talk about that a little.
That's exactly it. And, you know, I learned that from my mother, actually.
Okay.
And I always, whenever I'm writing something spiritual, I always try to touch base with people who I think have got it down better than I do. And usually okay. I'm writing things because I need them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I've written a book on suffering called The Promise. I've written a book about from self-help to God's help, a book called God Wants You Happy. And these are usually things that I'm struggling with in my own life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, God, what do you want for me in this difficulty in my life? What does happiness mean? When I'm not feeling happy, does that mean that God is somehow condemning me or punishing me or not?
Mm-hmm.
And then in this one on serenity, I went and I talked to my mother and I said, Mom, what do you think about serenity? What is that for you? And that prayer that you put on the bathroom wall of our house, what did it mean for you? And she was the one who actually said, well, you know, Jonathan, I think the most important thing for me is to recognize that accepting things I cannot change is not resigning myself to things that I can't change, but rather embracing the things I can't change as part of God's will for my life.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to do.
Yes.
Embracing mm-hmm. things that drive me crazy and saying, these are mine now.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of my life that God has willed for me, or at least has permitted to be part of my life. And I'm going to embrace them. I'm not going to run from them. I'm not going to be angry about them. They are part of God's perfect plan for my life.
Now, you seem like a pretty serene guy. Do you have to work at it, or does it come naturally to you?
You know, Tony, I think we all have different personalities, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that it doesn't mean that somebody who is naturally more anxious or naturally more nervous or is any less holy than the person who is naturally more serene.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think personality-wise, I probably am naturally more serene. But what I've discovered in writing this book is that God wants for us a different level of serenity even than natural serenity. And that
mm-hmm.
is a level of being confident that God will be faithful to his promises no matter what happens.
Right.
And that's a serenity that takes us beyond the natural kind of peace of mind and into a peace of soul.
Okay. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Father Jonathan Morris about his book, The Way of Serenity, Finding Peace and Happiness in the Serenity Prayer. Now, since you are a priest, let me ask you the religion question, because
okay.
for a lot of people, religion can be seen as an obstacle to serenity. They see it as just a bunch of rules and regulations. For you, I know religion is really the source, kind of the guide of your path to serenity. So talk about that a little bit. How do you see religion as being the way to serenity?
Well, you know, when I think of serenity as God sees it for us, or what he wants for us,
mm-hmm.
the peace of soul that he wants for us, it's not so much being free of problems,
okay,
right, or free of difficulties, or free of challenges,
mm-hmm.
but rather it's an ordering of the soul, an
okay.
ordering of the soul. Even in, I studied moral theology in seminary, which my graduate studies was in moral theology or ethics, right,
mm-hmm.
ethics. And I remember being blown away by a discussion of what peace is, like international peace or political peace, and a professor describing or explaining to us that peace was not a lack of war,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not a lack of conflict, but peace, true peace,
yeah.
both politically and also I would say at the level of soul, is the ordering of things. Okay, and I think, yes, as you said, Tony, sometimes religion can feel like it puts obstacles in our path. You can't do this. You shouldn't do that. God's going to punish you if you do this.
Mm-hmm.
God, the cop, or
yes,
something like
yes.
that, right? But I think, on the other hand, we know deep down that there are certain things we shouldn't do that are not helpful to us,
mm-hmm.
that disorder our soul. And so as long as the things that we can't do or shouldn't do
mm-hmm.
are actually things that will make us more happy if we don't do them
right.
long term,
mm-hmm.
well, then religion is a blessing. Look at the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. We could say, oh, that's terrible. Look at all these things we can't do. Well, even in our society, do we realize that it's helpful when people don't steal, when people don't lie, when people don't cheat on mm-hmm. on their wives? Do we recognize that those things are good? Yeah, we do. And I look at religion, and religion maybe is complicated, but my relationship with God mm-hmm. as a path toward real peace and serenity and happiness.
Right. Well, I was struck by the story you tell at the very beginning of the book. You're on the street, and a non-believer comes up to you to share the fact that he doesn't believe in God. And he wasn't a jerk about it. He was very friendly. But to me, it almost strikes me as the inherent spirituality in everybody, that they see you in your collar and somebody comes up to you to talk about that. Has working on this book taught you that there is this kind of inherent godliness in everybody?
I knew it before it, and it has proven it to me once again. And the story you mentioned is this guy who came up down on Wall Street to me. It was a cold winter night, and I thought my collar was covered up by my jacket, and I obviously was not. And a gentleman came bounding up to me and said, "Father, I need to tell you something." And I said, "What's that?" And I assumed it was either going to be, "Hey, please pray for so-and-so," mm-hmm. Or else, "Hey, I know a priest in North Dakota. His name is Father Jim. Do you know him?" It's almost always no, right? But people who feel some connection with you or with the Catholic Church, or mm-hmm. and they want to talk to you, and it's a beautiful thing. And I said, "Sure, you have something to tell me. I'm happy to listen." And he said, "I don't believe in God." And I said, "Okay." But I could tell he wasn't, as you mentioned, it wasn't an aggressive thing. It wasn't, "Hey, listen." He said, "I don't believe in God, and I want you to know I'm still trying to be a very good person." Mm-hmm. And I was impressed that he was, first of all, he felt compelled to tell me that. Mm-hmm. It probably means that sometimes we, as priests, as pastors, as Catholics, as people of deep belief, sometimes send off the wrong message, that it's because we believe in God that we can be good, or that we're striving to be good, or that we want to be good. There are lots of people who don't believe in God who recognize the moral life is a good life and it's worth living. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, "You know, thank you for telling me that. I appreciate it very much." And I said, "I don't doubt it. In fact, you even telling me that makes me want to be a better man, a better priest." Mm-hmm. And so thank you. And we talked about other things. We talked about football. We talked about other things for a couple of minutes. And then he said, he walked away, and as he was walking away, I said to him what I say to a lot of people when I'm saying goodbye. I said, "Hey, listen, would you say a prayer for me, and I'll say a prayer for you." Mm-hmm. And he stopped and he looked at me, and we both realized almost at the same time, well, that didn't really make a whole lot of sense, because he doesn't believe in God. Mm-hmm. And so he laughed, and I said, "Well, I'll say a prayer for you." And he walked away, and then he stopped, and he said, hey, but Father Jonathan, he said, I do really like that serenity prayer. Mm. And it's the prayer that I just mentioned. And
yeah.
It's the basis for the book, and it's the inspiration for the book. And why is it that this gentleman who doesn't believe in God recognized the goodness or the truth or the beauty of this prayer, mm-hmm. of praying for acceptance, of praying for courage, and praying for wisdom or discernment to know when we should act and when we shouldn't? And that really opened up to me a whole window into, I think, the heart of God, of what he wants for us.
I'm talking to Father Jonathan Morris about his book, The Way of Serenity, Finding Peace and Happiness in the Serenity Prayer. I like another point you bring up in the book, is that when things go bad in our lives, sometimes we can fool ourselves into thinking that by worrying about them, we're actually accomplishing something. How do you, is that something that you personally do, or you've seen that in other people? How do you move past that kind of thing?
I guess I do worry about some things. I don't think I'm a natural worrier, mm-hmm. but I do find myself sometimes going over and over in my head, gosh, what if this happens? What if that happens? How am I going to do this? And writing this book has helped me a great deal. I made a promise to myself that if I'm going to write about the Serenity Prayer, I would pray this prayer personally every day mm-hmm. until I finished. Mm-hmm. In part to encourage me to finish.
Yes.
Right? Said, anytime you make a promise to do something every day, you want to get it done. But praying that prayer every day really opened up my soul to be able to deal with worry in a way that I wasn't dealing with it before. And I was more aware, actually, of the worry that was present.
Okay.
Anytime you say, Lord, allow me, please grant me the grace to accept the things I cannot change, you're saying to God, Lord, I give it over to you. I give it back to you. Take it. And that's very freeing. If we believe that God is actually in control, and that we're giving control back to him, that we've taken from him mm-hmm. by worrying about it, I think we can find great peace in it.
Well, you also spend one chapter writing about the role of gratitude in achieving that kind of serenity. And it reminded me of there's a country song written by Kris Kristofferson. I think Johnny Cash sang it once, called Why Me, Lord? And I like the song because the title makes you think it's going to be some kind of lament about, like, yeah. why me, Lord? Why is all these rotten things happening to me? But it's actually a song about gratitude. It asks, why me, Lord? Why? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? And it's just a song about a troubled man who sees gratitude as his way out. How do you see gratitude as playing a role in helping us to achieve serenity, the kind of peace of soul that you're writing about in this book?
Well, the grateful soul, Tony, is the humble soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I've ever told this story, but maybe about 2 years ago, I was downtown or in lower Manhattan mm-hmm. At my parish, Old St. Patrick's Cathedral. It's a very kind of hip area, and I was with my mom and dad. They're from the Midwest, and especially my dad does not like New York City. I mean, all the traffic and the taxi cabs, and, mm-hmm. but also just the craziness of the, you know, the diversity of New York City. It can mm-hmm. it can be overwhelming. And we were coming down Mott Street one day, right in front of my church, and we saw this guy. He had it was probably about 85 degrees out. He had cowboy boots. He had socks pulled up to his knees.
Mm-hmm.
He had short jean shorts on.
Mm-hmm.
He had a vest on without any shirt underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
And he had all sorts of chains hanging from his neck.
Okay.
And as he was walking towards my mom and dad and me, my dad, who, as I mentioned, is overwhelmed by New York City anyway, looks at him, and mm-hmm. he's got long hair, long grayish hair, and my dad goes, oh, my gosh. You know, now I've seen it all.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I kind of laughed. I hadn't even noticed it. It just seemed so normal to me
yeah.
in New York to see everything. You know what, can I tell you, Tony, that the next day
mm-hmm.
I was in the church doing my morning prayer, and that same gentleman was over to the right praying on his knees in front of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Wow.
And I saw him as he was walking out of the church, and I said, is there anything I can pray for you for? You looked so intent. And he said, no, I do this every day. And I just go and I thank God, and I thank the Mother of Jesus for all the blessings that they have allowed in my life.
Wow. That's incredible.
I went and told my dad that, and he was blown away, and he said, oh my gosh, I feel so humbled by having that rash judgment, just assuming mm-hmm. that this guy was a very confused guy.
Yeah.
Gosh, when you're grateful, you're humble. And the mm-hmm. humble soul, I think, is a soul open to God, and also, essentially, a peaceful soul.
Well, that reminds me of a line that you have in the book, and I wrote it here. God's favorite instruments are nobodies, so that no man can boast before God. Mm-hmm. Was that in kind of a sign for you? Because in a way, that man was teaching you something.
Oh, gosh, people teach me things every day. On the way here to the studio, someone stopped and asked me for confession.
Mm-hmm.
And right on the street, right on Park Avenue, and what I was impressed by this gentleman is, first of all, he wasn't afraid of interrupting my schedule. He wasn't afraid of interrupting my life because he thought confession was that important in his life.
Good perspective.
And very often I put things off that I shouldn't put off in the spiritual life, whether mm-hmm. it's confession or whether it's meeting with my spiritual director or getting the help I need from friends and hanging out with people who are helpful to me.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I learn from people every day, and I need their example as much as I think others need mine.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Father Jonathan Morris about his book, The Way of Serenity, Finding Peace and Happiness in the Serenity Prayer. Let's touch on the second part of that prayer now, mm-hmm. the courage to change
yep.
thing. Because a lot of people, and you've probably heard this when you're counseling people, they say, I can't change. This is just the way I am. What have you seen through the years of your experience with people about our own potential to change if we make up the mind to, if we surrender to God's will for mm-hmm. our lives?
You know, Tony, I didn't know this before I started writing the book, but I think the steps of the prayer, and maybe this is why it's so powerful, are actually chronological in terms of the way God usually works best in our soul. That it's very hard to be courageous in doing things that we know we should do if we haven't let go of the things that we need to let go of first.
Right.
And then it would make more sense to say, well, hey, listen, I'm going to pray for the wisdom to know the difference, and then I'm going to be able to pick out which things I'm going to be. No, actually, letting go of the things we need to do helps us to have the courage to change the things we can.
Mm-hmm.
Once we've let go of the shackles, right, of worry, of fear, of resentment, of anger, we're more able to actually do the things we know we should do.
Right.
And I've seen so many people do things that they never thought they could do precisely because they've let go of the things that they know that they knew that they should let go of.
Right.
And so, yes, I think there's things that we can do that we never thought possible.
Mm-hmm.
Pope Francis is an example of this, Tony.
Okay.
And
who you dedicate the book to, right?
I do, right at the beginning, because Francis has been for me at, just such a powerful example of one who is inviting all of us, especially me as a priest, to get back to the basics of love, of service, of charity, of humility. And what I know, what has happened to him since he became Pope, I think is nothing short of a miracle. You know, he was not like he is now in Argentina as Archbishop. Yes, he is the same in terms of his own personal spiritual life and the things that are important to him, but he's bolder now. He's more courageous now than he ever was before, and he said that himself. I mean, look at all the interviews that he's given, right, to atheists, to all sorts of people. He's shocked the world in some of the things he said. He gave one, as far as I know, he gave one single interview as an archbishop of Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Wow, I didn't know that.
He didn't like the media. he didn't like the possibility of confrontation and misunderstanding. Pope Francis has decided that he needs to do this because God has invited him to do it, and if God has invited him, then everything is going to be okay. I think it's the courage that I talk about in the second chapter of this, or the second part of this book, is part personal fortitude and standing up to challenges, and it's part, in part, it's the grace of God helping us to do things we would never be able to do on our own.
Right. Well, part of that courage to change also is, I think a lot of times we pray to God for something, and when we expect Him to do all the legwork, whereas we actually need to take action. There's a line in an old Christmas song called, "Even a miracle needs a hand," which means we need to do our part. Where does the action come in on our part? Why should we not rest on our laurels and expect God to do the heavy lifting?
Well, if you just look at the history of salvation, so to speak, if you look at the history of God involved with human affairs, beginning right at creation, right, and His relationship with Adam and Eve, right, He put them in charge of things. God put mankind in charge of the rest of creation and said, go be fruitful and multiply, do something. It's a mystery why God has chosen to need us. God has chosen to need us. Not that, you know, existentially He couldn't have done it otherwise, but
right.
He has chosen to allow us to be co-workers with Him. Even, I would say, co-creators with God. Look at just the promulgation of humanity. A man and a woman coming together in an act of love, which is what, you know, in the essence of what God is itself, in an act of love, hopefully, that produces a life that is made in the image and likeness of God, but that has the fingerprints, the face of the mother and the father all over that child. We could say we're going to let God do everything, but if, you know, if we don't get off the couch and do things, it doesn't seem like we're playing into God's methodology, His plan. And I think it's because He loves us so much, He wants to work with us side by side.
Yeah, it's in the process of doing all these things that we find ourselves changing and growing closer to Him.
That's right.
Well, let me tie, it's the last question, we're almost out of time, so let me tie in the Christopher motto, as you know, is it's better to light one candle than curse the darkness. How do you think that approach can help us to serenity? How does that approach to life fit in with the serenity prayer, do you think?
I think they go hand in hand, and that's why I've always been attracted to the Christophers and the mission of the Christophers of inviting people to take on their own mission in this world to make a difference, to make a change. And if that change is not a positive change, if it's mm-hmm. my mission in this life is to make everybody who I don't like finally change and be better, well, you know, it doesn't work, first of all, but it's also, it doesn't play into what God wants for our soul. And the Christophers have, for many, many years, invited us to be at our best, to lead with mercy, to make a difference in this world, and to do it in a positive way, an eminently positive way, lighting a candle instead of sitting back and saying, oh my gosh, the world is coming to an end. I mean, how often do I hear that? The world is coming to an end. It might be,
yeah.
But you know what? All of our lives are going to come to an end
mm-hmm.
in 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, or 1 year from now.
Yeah.
And I think the message of the Christophers, go light a candle, is going to make those 1 year, those 5 years, 1 year, 20 years, for us and for others, a much better, happier place.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I've been talking to Father Jonathan Morris about his book, The Way of Serenity, Finding Peace and Happiness in the Serenity Prayer. Do yourself a favor and pick up this book, because Father peppers it with personal stories about people he knows who've gone through difficult challenges in their lives. He writes about an uncle who's going through a difficult health challenge, and yet he manages to find serenity and peace in the midst of all these things. This is a book that isn't written over your head. It's not just for theological academics. It's something that everyone can relate to. So thanks, Father Jonathan, for writing it. Thank you for all the reflections you've done for us that we use on this show from time to time. And thank you
John.
For your ministry as well.
Thank you.
Now, before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
Patience may be a virtue, but it sure is a difficult one to practice. After all, none of us like to wait. And in our instant gratification culture that offers quick downloading and streaming and same-day delivery, waiting can become even harder to tolerate. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Practicing Patience. It suggests 5 simple ways that you can become a more patient person and share stories about people who have successfully done so. To request your free copy of Practicing Patience, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineers for today's show are Charlie Actor and Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.